Good morning so far. Hold on a minute.
Okay, let's turn to Psalm 16. This is kind of early on. There were a few prophecies. Actually, I think this is, Psalm 2 is probably the first, what they would call the prophecies of the Messiah, or the messianic prophecies. And these are writings and things that were predicted about Jesus coming forth. And so Psalm 16 actually has a really beautiful prophecy. And we know this actually because of Peter's sermon in Acts chapter 2. And so Peter uses this passage to talk about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. So let's talk about that. It's going to be a pretty interesting chapter. So we're going to start here. Let's read this. And it's important, this one, actually important, the title of this one. And it's "The Lord, the Psalmist, Portion in Life and Deliver in Death." It's what they call a miktam of David. And if you have a Bible, it usually means an epigrammatic poem or an atonement psalm. And I'll share a little bit more about what that means later on. So let's read this. Psalm chapter 16. "Preserve me, O God, for I take refuge in thee. I said to the Lord, thou art my Lord. I have no good besides thee. As for the saints who are in the earth, they are the majestic ones in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those who have bartered for another god will be multiplied. I shall not pour out their libations of blood, nor shall I take their names upon my lips. The Lord is a portion of my inheritance and my cup. Thou dost support my lot. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Indeed, my heritage is beautiful to me. I will bless the Lord who has counseled me. Indeed, my mind instructs me in the night. I have set the Lord continually before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will dwell securely. For thou wilt not abandon my soul to Sheol, neither wilt thou allow thy Holy One to undergo decay. Thou wilt make known to me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy, and in thy right hand there are pleasures forever." Amen. Wow, such a really beautiful psalm. So let's go back to the title of the Miktam of David. Like I said, it means a poem. It's considered the atonement psalm, but the title is commonly understood as golden. Others think that it's related to the word that means to cover. And so since the psalms with this title, this is 16, and then 56 to 60 are written in times of peril, some think of the idea is like covering the lips in the sense of secrecy. Like this was a secret psalm in a time of crisis. And so this is really a wonderful song related to how David found the secret of contentment and great gladness, even in difficult times. And it also powerfully predicts Jesus and his work for us on the cross. Okay, so let's break this down. He says, "Preserve me, O God, for I take refuge in thee." And so it seems that David wrote this, obviously, in a time of trouble because he asked to be preserved. He knew that, you know, going down to verse 8 here, that he would not be shaken. And so he had some kind of confidence in some kind of resurrection. We see that in verse 10. Yet the tone of this psalm is actually not despair or complaint. It's joy. Despite the trouble that David is under, he has this praising confidence in God. He's just rejoicing in the Lord. He says, "You are my Lord." This is what David's soul, you know, has said to the Lord in this way. You know, David happily said that the Lord was his master. You know, Yahweh was his master. That's what Lord means here. And he says, "I have no good besides thee." You know, in other words, his goodness was nothing apart from him. David knew that even at his very best, all of his goodness was nothing apart from God. It was nothing when it came to making David righteous before God, right? He needed God to bring righteousness to him. It was nothing because David's goodness was itself a gift of God. So therefore, apart from him, right, it was nothing. And it was nothing because David's goodness, you know, as precious as it was of small value without his relationship with God. So he's meditating on that. He says here, as for the saints who are in the earth, they are the majestic ones in whom is all my delight. David proclaimed regarding God's people that they are majestic ones, that he delighted in them. David delighted in the people of God. You know, despite all the failings, despite all the embarrassments, all the brokenness, he delighted. And I think this is a quite an obvious issue today for Christians because, you know, there's so many Christians that have so many negative feelings about other Christians, and they're unable to see the excellence in God's people. You know, where Paul will tell us whatever is true, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good reputation, let your mind dwell on these things. We tend to just focus on the negatives of this. I mean, we see this happening in the U.S., you know, with the polarization because of politics and these kinds of things. And Christians are really looked down so negatively by other Christians. And David had a different idea. He says, for the saints who are on the earth, they are the majestic ones in whom is my delight. And in some way, you can pretty much measure your relationship to the Lord in really how you treat other Christians, people, but especially Christians. You know, do you find it a blessing being around them? You know, do you seek after the company of other believers? You know, it's really a simple test, right? Those who love the Lord will love the company of those who also love him. And so David's telling us that's where he's at. And then we go to verse 4, and it says, the sorrows of those who have bartered for another god will be multiplied. David understood that those who served other gods found many sorrows in life. Now, this is pretty interesting because David knew that this life, when it's really lived for God, is sometimes not an easy one. We will experience many hardships. David experienced many hardships because he wanted to remain faithful to God. But he also knew that life lived for another God was even more difficult. It was kind of, if you think about when Peter is having this conversation with Jesus in John 6, remember? And he says, will you leave me? And then Peter says, Lord, to whom shall we go? Like, where else can we go? Yes, life with you is sometimes difficult, but life without you is absolutely miserable. The sorrows of those who go after another God will be multiplied. He understood this. And he says, in fact, and he says, I will not pour out their libations of blood. And this is really, he's talking about pagan practices and pagan belief to drink blood and all these things. And he says, I will not do it. I'll not follow, you know, the pagans in their vain practices, because the cup, the Lord is the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You support my lot. And after, you know, stating that there was nothing that could be found in these pagan gods, David explained the good that he received from the Lord. And he says, you are the portion of my inheritance. Remember, David was the youngest son in a family with many sons. He could basically expect no inheritance from his family. Yet he took joy and comfort in the fact that God was the portion of his inheritance. And he knew that he had a good inheritance. In fact, we see that his portion that he had was, his lot that he had was actually a really good lot. The land or whatever you want to call it. David's word here really speaks of this place of contentment. He is content with what God has given to him. You know, brothers and sisters, I mean, let's take a pause for a moment and let's ask, are you content with what God has given to you? Are you always looking over your shoulder or looking at your friend? Or, you know, are you always comparing and are you discontent? Are you content with the portion of your lot, of your inheritance that we get from God? You know, or are you looking at people in the world, you know, who chase after other gods in this way, and are you jealous of them? But, you know, don't understand, right, that, man, you know, the sorrows are multiplied. I mean, it's interesting to really have a moment to think about this. And then he turns in verse 5, he says, the Lord is a portion of my, oh, we read this, verse 7, I will bless the Lord who has counseled me. And the false gods of the nations could never give counsel the way the Lord gave it to David. When David needed guidance, God gave it to him. Therefore, David praised God. He says, my mind instructs me in the night. David's heart was instructed first by God and his word, and therefore his heart could also instruct him. The mind, the word mind actually here literally means kidneys. And so it's really talking about the inner person. So heart could be an easy, maybe even better translation, maybe in this way. It's talking about the inner person, that deep inside of us. And we see that this is what's happening. You know, Solomon in Psalm 127 said that it would be in vain to stay up late trying to figure out your problems. Yet David, you know, Solomon's father, knew the joy of communing with God in the night seasons and receiving guidance from him. You know, these are those times where there's so much on our mind and we can't go to sleep. And David is saying that when this happens, that he goes to the Lord, his heart, his mind instructs him in the night, and God is there for him in those times where there's just a lot of our mind and we can't go to sleep. And when that happens, go to the Lord. That's what David learned in that place. And he says, I've set the Lord continually before me. This speaks of a decision that David makes to put God first in his life. I have set the Lord continually before. He determined that God would always be his focus, that he would always be his perspective. Now, in the ultimate sense, only Jesus did this perfectly. He was always in the intimate presence of his Father. So this from verse 8, 9, and 10 is really about the life that Jesus lives. It's a prophecy because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. This was the plain result of David's decision to put God first. There was a standing and security in David's life that he would not have otherwise experienced. But because he put God first, he says he would not be shaken. And so therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. David continued to describe the benefits of his decision to set the Lord always before him. This decision brought joy and gladness and glory to David's life. And then he continues on. So David's talking about now, but also to come. And he says, and my flesh will also dwell securely, for you will not abandon my soul to Sheol. And David described a further benefit of his life decision to set the Lord always before him. It was the confidence of God's care and blessing in the life beyond. And David had this really incredible hope, right? A confidence, not just a wish, that God would not leave his soul in the grave, but that his life would continue on in the presence of God. Now, this statement really is a wonderful declaration of trust in the resurrection and the afterlife. The Psalms, actually more than any other book, have such contain these statements, these confident statements of the afterlife, but also sometimes kind of a cloudy understanding But that was pretty indicative of the Old Testament, because obviously Paul tells us in 2 Timothy 1 that Jesus Christ brought life and immortality to light. I mean, he really showed us what the afterlife and death and all these things are really about. The Old Testament is kind of a blurry picture of it in this way. And he says, you will not allow your Holy One to undergo decay. Wonderfully and perhaps unknowingly, David spoke beyond himself. David, sure, he was the Holy One, but whose soul would not be left in the grave in these things. Yet in a greater sense, only Jesus fulfills this in the resurrection. And we can understand more because Peter uses Psalm 16 in his sermon in Acts chapter 2. And in quoting this passage, really about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, Peter showed really this inspiring understanding of the work of Jesus on the cross. He understood that because Jesus bore our sin, without becoming a sinner, he remained the Holy One even in his death. And God's Holy One would not be bound by death, and that he was resurrected. This is Acts 2:24. And so we see this picture of death and then resurrection, and it points to Christ. David finishes off in verse 11, really powerful verse. And it says, "You will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy." And David seems to really understand the benefits of this life. You know, I mean, the real benefits of all that's going on around him in this way. That when you really commit your life to God, you put him first, that you are going to receive in this life, but also in the life to come. The path of life is something enjoyed by the believer now, but also into eternity. It's God gives us eternal life to enjoy as a present gift that extends all the way into eternity. And in your presence is fullness of joy. David knew that he could experience this now, but also ultimately receive it when we come into the immediate presence of God. At your right hand are pleasures forever. You know, David had full confidence that his life with God, both now and forever, would be marked by the highest and best pleasures. This is life lived to the fullest. This is not shallow, pleasures. I mean, this is the fullness of life, of this life and also to come. Let me read you this. I found this one of my favorite books, Christian books, is the Screwtape Letters, and this is C.S. Lewis. And if you know the Screwtape Letters, it's basically it's a senior demon. It's an uncle, and he's Uncle Wormwood, and he's giving advice to his nephew, who's like a minion, you know, is a low-ranking demon, and he's giving him advice how to trap Christians and all these things. And so, let me read you this this senior devil that's at work, and he complains about this unfair advantage that God has against the devils in their work. And this is what he says. He says he's a hedonist at heart. All those fasts and vigils and stakes and crosses are only a facade, or only like foam on the seashore. Out at sea, out in his sea, there is pleasure and more pleasure. He makes no secret of it. At his right hand are pleasures forevermore. He's quoting Psalm 16 now, Lewis's. Ugh, I don't think he has the least inkling of that high and austere mystery to which we rise in the miserific vision. He's vulgar, Wormwood. He has a bourgeoisie mind. He has filled his world full of pleasures. There are things for humans to do all day long without his minding in the least: sleeping, washing, eating, drinking, making love, playing, praying, working. Everything has to be twisted before it's any use to us. We fight under cruel disadvantages. Nothing is naturally on our side. Isn't that great? Lewis is just telling, or, you know, Screwtape is telling his little nephew Wormwood, you know, this idea that God has filled the world with so much pleasure. There's so many things that human beings could take advantage of, but humans are dumb. They don't realize it. And he says, and what we need to do, as demons, we need to twist all these good things before it's of any use to us. And you think about that. God has given us so many pleasures in the world around us. You know, there's so many things. I mean, I just think, really simply, you know, last night, just, you know, before going to sleep and laying down with my wife and, you know, and just looking at her and just really thanking God, you know, for her in my life and how blessed I am because of her, you know, and my kids. And there's so many pleasures that God gives to us. You know, I can go to work and I can serve the Lord. And, it's just amazing. And we often think about what we don't have. And when we do that, we miss sight of what we actually do have. And at his right hand are pleasures forevermore in this life and also the life to come. So let's close our eyes. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you today. Let the Holy Spirit whisper into your hearts. Are you filled with a contentment today? Are you discontent? Are you worried about what you don't have and losing sight of what you do have? Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Let the Holy Spirit minister to your hearts. Let the Holy Spirit transform your mind to recognize that if I put God first, there is so much joy, there's so much life and peace that's coming my way. So can we just spend a moment and let's just reflect on that as we sing?
Never let me go. it all down again. He said that I'm your friend. You are my desire. Nothing else could take your place. Feel the warmth of your embrace. Help me find a way. Bring me back to you. You're all I want. You're all I ever needed. You're all I want. Help me know you are near. You're all I want. You're all I ever needed. You're all I want. Help me know you are near. You're all I want. You're all I ever needed. You're all I want.
Amen. Let's continue to tell the Lord that, Lord, you are all that we want. Lord, we want to put you first. We want to enjoy the pleasures forevermore at your right hand. Let's just continue to meditate on that. Let's go before the Lord. Let's go to our member prayer focus, and let's pray for our friends and family that are battling through cancer and going through therapies. And let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community that we're praying for illness, but also for salvation. Let's pray for the word of healing and the word of salvation. Let's pray for our community dealing with non-cancer related illnesses, and let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work. Let's pray for open doors and God's provision. Let's go to our mission prayers, and let's pray for China this morning. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to just breathe His Spirit and His life over this nation. Let's pray for our ministries there. Let's pray for SP Beijing, SP Shanghai. Pray for Pastor Hyunsu, his family, the leaders. Pray for Pastor Ricky, his family, and also the leaders there. Let's just ask for God to really lead our communities faithfully. Let's lift up the Chongs and pray for churches all over the nation that they would preach the gospel powerfully. Let's lift up our board. Well, let's ask for God's hand upon us as we run hard after Him. Let's pray for a spirit of wisdom and revelation upon each of our leaders. So let's pray. Let's pray for our fellowship ministries, our young adults, our men's and women's ministries, all the different meetings and programs that they put together. Let's pray that they would be really a great way to connect and to grow and love each other and love God. Let's lift up. Let's pray for SP 2.0. Let's pray for building and resources. Pray for benefactor and the vision fund. And let's ask God to continue to provide for us long term. Let's pray for house church tonight. Blue Pool, Fortress, Happier Valley, Lido, Line Rock, New Conduit, TST, Ventris, and Westville. Let's pray for our leaders, our hosts. Pray for the family of God to gather together, either in person or on Zoom. And there'll be just great protection and great love and favor and anointing flowing tonight. And lastly, let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's lift up our city. Let's ask God's hand to be with us and just continue to heal those in it. Let's pray for opportunities in our city to share the gospel with people. Just pray for a moving of his heart. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for what Jesus Christ has done for us. We thank you for the death, burial, and resurrection, God. And in his resurrection, God, we have our resurrection. Lord, we thank you that David finds absolute contentment in you, God. Lord, in your presence is fullness of joy. And we want to be in your presence, God, now and forevermore. And so we thank you for the privilege of those pleasures and those gifts that you give to us. Lord, would you watch over us today? I know we're expecting not such good weather. Watch over our city, God, and our families, and help us as Chinese New Year is around the corner. God, help us to celebrate what you're done and what you're doing and the way you've blessed us, God. Help us to focus on what we have instead of what we don't have, Lord, and find contentment in your presence. We thank you. We love you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we will see you tomorrow. Okay? Take care. Bye-bye.